As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, don't you worry, audience.
We'll ramble on today. Most appropriate rejoin, young Tom, to kick off the Fitzy Han Solo Power Hour as part of the WEEI Weekend All-Stars Parade. Good afternoon, everybody. It is as cold outside as it probably is inside of your football soul at this moment. I feel for you. Look, none of us wanted to be here. No, not doing a fun job talking sports on Boston Sports Original WEEI, where I see the phone lines, unlike the highways into the city right now, are absolutely jammed. People ready to voice their displeasure, get their grouse on. This is your therapy session. I am here for you from 12 to 1 p.m.-ish until my pal John Lyons tags in, and it'll be the Fitzy and Lyons party up until 2 o'clock. Then Coach Fitzy has to tag out. Got a basketball game to get to for the 11-year-old. But don't you worry, Mego tags in, and it'll be Lions and Mego till 4 o'clock. And then, of course, we have a super meaningless football game followed by a super meaningful football game. And tomorrow represents both a super meaningless football game and a super meaningful football game. And I'm going to get to the calls. Don't you guys go anywhere. We're getting right into it. I am here for you. This is your show. I'm just manning the helm. I'm just grateful to be the guy that can give you guys a forum to boo, to bitch, to whine. Please feel free to offer your plan to fix the New England Patriots. I've got some ideas as well. You can register them at 617-779-7937. That is both your text line and your telephone line. Murray, Bill, Dan, Rob, Harvey, don't you guys go anywhere. But, you know, and young Tom, our producer, Tom Cristofulli, will be manager. See, I was going to say manning and monitoring, but I got ahead of myself, Tom. Cautionary tale. I know you're young and getting into the radio game. I oftentimes have so much to say that I get out over my verbal skis, Tom. You've probably noticed that sometimes the words crash into each other somewhere between the cortex and the mouth. And usually then the audience pays for it. So let that be lesson number one today, young Tom. Just take your time.
Yes, sir.
No one's in a rush. How you doing today, by the way, Pat?
I'm doing great, Fitzy. I'm super excited to be here. Caught the last hour of Cutting Curtis. Mm-hmm. The callers are angry, and I'm looking forward to it because it always cracks me up how angry all Boston people are. It makes me happy.
So you're the guy who's looking forward to today.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, I even told my wife the other day, I said, you know, I think we need to build a quiet room in the house. Or I think you just need to, when I finish my radio shows... Today, coming to you from my home studio in southern New England. I think you just need to let me go take a walk. Like, I just need to go. I need to decompress. Like, just exercising or sweating it out, it's not enough. Like, what's going on with the Patriots? I care about the team so much. I love my Boston sports so much. I work for the team. Full disclosure, everyone knows. Yeah, we see your sad Modern Family discount face on the Jumbotron all the time. We know, smart guy. I love him. You know, I'll defend him to the T, but at the same time, I full well understand what a colossal mess we are in. And you know what? If you want to boo, you want to complain, you can do that tomorrow if you make it to the stadium.
There probably won't be much traffic.
If you can deal with the temperatures, real feel of 15, and that's at the kickoff. Holy smokes. Oh, it's going to be painful. But this is where we are, and this is what we have to get through. Anyway. We're going to open up the phones in just a second, Tom, but I was thinking on my way to powering up the old radio machine and getting today's show rolling. You know, I was thinking, everybody loves to play the blame game. That's one of the best things we do in Boston / Massachusetts, the South Shore especially, New England. We are phenomenal at blaming others for our own faults, misgivings, and problems. We're the best. I think we're the GOAT. Who really is to blame for all of this? Like, would it make us happy to have one sacrificial lamb? Is there one pound of flesh so as to pay for these dark times? Who can we pin this on? Who's the scapegoat? Is it going to be Alex Van Pelt? Might be. I have it on good authority. I shan't reveal my sources, but I have it on good authority. He believes he's donezo. That stinks. This is not all his fault, I would like to tell him in full-throated Robin Williams voice. From Good Will Hunting, Alex, it's not your fault. Could it be DeMarcus Covington? Maybe. Whoa, what a regression this defense has made. Major steps back. But again, he probably wasn't ready. And oh, by the way, the guy that used to man the defense was the greatest defensive mind in the history of the NFL and his kid. And now Mayo and Covington are trying to make up for it with inferior talent and a tougher schedule. Uh-oh, sounds like someone's making excuses. We best move on. Is it going to be Jerod Mayo? I doubt it. But according to some, especially people that live in the comment sections of Instagram, Twitter, other social media platforms, Facebook, places that are just cesspools of toxicity and dissent these days. Tom, I don't know if you saw the TV show Andor. Are you a Star Wars fan?
Yeah, I love Star Wars. One of the first things I remember is watching A New Hope in the basement with my dad, all the lights turned off, watching between the crack of the between the chair and the couch because my mom didn't think I was old enough yet, but my dad did.
What? First of all, props to your dad.
He's the best.
Star Wars is my awesome dad. Major Christofoli points there. Super all, dad all-star points right there. Star Wars is my first memory. 1978. Selective memory for people usually begins between the age of like 3 and 4. So 1978, the Braintree 4 Cinema, right by the South Shore Plaza, which, by the way, may have more people in it tomorrow than Gillette Stadium. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. We're here. Just, Tom, another lesson for you, young Tom. Steer into it. If you have an ideal, if you have a belief, go, you know, don't apologize for it. Don't be shy about it. We're here. This is, you know, don't live in the past. There's another one. Don't live in the past. Own your now. The now is miserable, so let's just try to have some fun with it, make the most, and never return here again.
I got a sort of notes tab of stuff Fitzy told me.
Please do. Please do.
I promise.
There'll be a quiz at 12:45.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, audience not participation. You'll
not
get
good
a,
at quizzes. Calm major for a reason.
You'll get a free six-pack of beer from the Greg Hill Show office for whoever wins Fitzy's 12:45 impromptu show quiz. So, Star Wars was my first movie. My dad drove me afterwards. It was when they re-released it a year later because they didn't have the toys ready for what a spectacular, colossal smash it was when they released it in May of 1977. So my dad, like the superstar dad that he was, drove me to Child World in Quincy, the greatest toy store of all time. I know a lot of us grew up Toys R Us kids. They had good toys at Caldor's, Zayers, Bradley's, all things young Tom is unaware of. Took me to Child World and I got my Darth Vader. Like the first toy I remember, the first movie I remember. All time great. Anyway, my dad, by the way, used to take me to all the most inappropriate movies just so he could get out of the house. And escape the parents' marriage. That was just it didn't go great. My parents were awesome at arguing, competitive smoking. It was excellent. So my dad used to take me to all these movies. So I saw like Hot Dog the movie when I was 8, Ruthless People, anything that involved like swearing, violence, and nudity. I was welcome to it at an early age. So, and I turned out okay-ish. So you know, it all worked out. But anyway, Star Wars. If you happen to see the Star Wars series Andor. Did you see that, Tom? I highly recommend it.
Yes, but I watched it when I had the flu, so it was like a fever dream to me.
Okay. Well, there were some sequences and some moments in there. Super expensive series. The new one's coming out, season 2, in just a few weeks on Disney Plus, and it's supposed to be the most expensive TV series ever produced. It's going to be amazing, I think. Anyway, do you remember when that woman, she was captured? She was a friend of Andor, of Cassian Andor, I believe. She was captured, and they put these headphones on her that were basically like audio torture.
Yeah.
It was like the sounds of people like
dying,
and then that was just pumped into her head for days to torture her to try to get information as to where Cassian Andor was.
Yes, I remember that.
That's basically what it's been like listening to people talk about the Patriots for the last several weeks.
See, I thought you were going to go with that's what it's been like hearing these press conferences the past 24 hours, but I agree with that as well, Fitzy.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Everything. Jelani Tavai. The response to Jelani Tavai, people online, super fans and their Instagram channels, all the excuses, the post-game pressers, the calls of the game, hearing Ladd McConkey score multiple touchdowns, the excuses made by people, all of it. It has been so gray, so dismal, so negative, so gross. Forget about the fact that it doesn't even come close to resembling the football that we used to know for the double dynastic 20-year run. Oh, and by the way, happy 5-year anniversary of the last day Tom Brady ever played a game in Gillette Stadium wearing a Patriots uniform. So you know who I blame? I blame the Cincinnati Bengals. Hear me out. 617-779-7937. Murray, Dan, Bill, Harvey, Bob, you're up in a second. I blame the Cincinnati Bengals. You want to know why, Tom? You want to know why, audience? Because if this football team, which is trying as hard as they can tonight to beat the Steelers and then hope that the Dolphins and the Broncos lose tomorrow, which could happen, probably won't. They're going to miss the playoffs, which is going to suck because I would have loved to have seen the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs because Joe Burrow is on an all-time heater, 7 straight games, 250 yards plus passing, 3 or more touchdowns in every game, including 3 to a man the New England Patriots are going to have to pay $32.5 million to for 5 years with 80 guaranteed come this March. That would be young T. Higgins if they want to have wide receiver one on the football team next year. If the Bengals and Zach Taylor, head coach, who is a notoriously slow starter, if they had just gotten their act together a little bit, taken care of Ja'Marr Chase, made sure that they were ready to play the Patriots, then the Patriots wouldn't have won that game. The Bengals would be in the playoffs, which would be fun because then we could watch the Bengals in the playoffs and maybe, just maybe, they would go to Arrowhead and score 45 and knock off the Chiefs and prevent the Chiefs from getting the three-peat, forcing us to just gag on that bundle rooski. Then the Patriots would be in the driver's seat, pole position, for the number one pick, and we wouldn't have to worry about them possibly playing to win tomorrow. We'll get to that in the next segment and what a colossal misstep and disaster that could be. Could it be the final one for Mayo? We'll find out. And then we wouldn't have been deluded into thinking this team had a chance. No, take him to the hill. No, this team's going to be great. They would have fought hard. They would have lost. It would have been, we all would have been fine with it because that would have set our expectations correctly. And then instead, The Bengals aren't ready to win. Not prepared at all. The Pats were the one game they were the most prepared for all season. I wish they would have just stopped the season then. But if they had just not won that game, if the Bengals had just been prepared, then everything would be different right now. Instead, nope. We thought they were going to be better. We thought they would make us proud. We thought they would be tough. We thought they would be organized. And look at what a mess we have now. Gah! Thanks a lot, Cincinnati. Bet you didn't think I was going there, did you, Tom?
I did not, but I don't hate it, Fitzy. I just think it's really tough to blame blame a different organization for why your team stinks. I think it's really tough to do that, but I like the logic. It gave us hope. It really gave us hope that they weren't going
to
be terrible.
There is no hope. Of course, Tom, we're all to blame. Mayo's to blame. The Crafts are to blame. Everyone that works at that stadium. Elliot Wolf is to blame. The coaches, the coordinators, the players. They all have to take accountability. Each and every one of them has a hand in this mess. Of course, it's not Cincinnati's fault, but it just provided me momentary comfort and digressionary joy to just at least blame it on someone else for a minute.
Ah, I apologize Bengals. For stealing your joy, Fitzy.
And you know what? The Bengals are going to win tonight, and then they're not. And then either Denver will beat Carson Wentz, or somehow Snoop Huntley will beat that enigmatic ayahuasca-filled fraud Aaron Rodgers tomorrow at DeathLife Stadium. Come on. All right. You know what? That's it. That's enough for me. Murray in Rhode Island, you are first up today on Uncle Fitzy's therapy session. Good afternoon.
Well, hey, this is a really good thing because I'm a physician, actually. I'm a primary care physician, and I was in the military for 30 years, and you're going to want to hear what I have to say.
I love that.
Being in the military for 30 years.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your service, by the way, Murray. Appreciate both you calling in and your service. Thank you.
Thank you. And I love you, Fitzy. That's why I pick up the phone. I got to get in here to talk to you. And I appreciate the therapy session. The thing is, when you're doing, and for all the military people who are out there, if you've ever been involved in an accident or an investigation, whatever, we, you know, tear everything apart and we follow everything down to the line. And the answer here is that Mr. Kraft is the one who's responsible for this whole mess. I love Mr. Kraft. I appreciate him bringing, everything together for us to get to 6 Super Bowls here. But the problem, Mr. Kraft, is that who signs the checks, right? Mr. Kraft signs the checks. and also being in the military, we select the best and brightest, the best and fully qualified to be our coaches and such. For example, we're not going to have somebody who's not qualified to be, an admiral or a general or somebody who's commanding an aircraft carrier. Right now, the Patriots basically have flown, 25 jets into the ground. We've sunk 5 or 6 ships. The thing is, if anything like that happens, the manager's gone or the coach is gone. So Mayo needs to be gone. And I asked Mr. Kraft to just kind of reexamine what's going on. My wife said this, and people out there are going to say, oh, my God, heresy. Maybe it's time for Mr. Kraft to step aside and let Jonathan take over. I just don't understand some of the business decisions that have been made here. Gerard Mayo is not best and fully qualified. There's other people out there. We're secretly hoping that Vrabel will come on board. So, not for me. Thank you very much. Listen, Xanax is a great thing out there. So, if people are really, the other thing, too, is that I'm so mad about everything that's going on. I feel like taking all my Patriots gear and bringing it down to Foxborough and throwing it over the fence. But my wife is saying, no, don't go that far yet.
No, right, Murray, don't stay the course, Murray. You got to stay the course. And listen, thank you for the call, and I appreciate that. And I actually kind of agree with you, Murray. You know, when bad things happen and there are operations that go asunder, what happens is a lot of times, the refuse, the parts, the pieces are brought to a warehouse and there's a long forensic investigation as to exactly what went wrong. Why did the operation go bad? What happened in the flight? Why was there this crash? Why was there this accident? What happened? I think before there's obviously been time for the Patriots to stop and figure out exactly what happened. And I'm sure there have been dialogues running for days, weeks, months, possibly even as to how in the holy hell they got here and how they can fix it. I think before there is a rush to judgment, like quick jump on Vrabel or we got to call this guy or bring him in and start the whole search. They need to be reflexive. The one thing aside from please don't win tomorrow, please, 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 please. I cannot believe this, that I am a 50-year-old super fan trying to raise two boys to be half as interested in the football team that I have grown up following, worshiping, and loving his whole ridiculous life. Please don't win tomorrow. But also, please don't rush to something. Please be reflexive and take a minute to look inward and figure out how and why you got here, how you need to fix it, and how you can never get here again. That's all I'm asking. It's a big ask, Tom, but that's all I'm asking. One more call, and then we'll get to the break. There's my guy. Dan in Rhode Island. Good afternoon, Danny. What a week we've been having. What a month we've been having. What a season we've been having.
Thankfully, it's almost done, Schvitzy. I can't get past the Schvitzy, by the way. I'm sorry. That just has mileage on it. You know, you're talking about the 70s. They would have called you Schlitzy back in those days.
That's what I say sometimes, even though I don't drink Schlitz, except when I find it on occasion or if it's free. You know, I'm a Gansett guy, pride of Rhode Island. Hey, neighbor. You know, Gansey doesn't have the same mileage, but if I'm overserved, I'm Schlitzy, and if I'm in my sauna, I'm Schvitzy.
If you have one go-to, Caps Blue Ribbon or Schlitz?
PBR, baby. It was great. It was Grandpa's basement beer, and it'll always be second fiddle in my cooler anyway. All right, so correct, Dan, answer. You've called in a number of times. I know your displeasure, your dissent as well. So if you – let's armchair GM it from a guy who loves the team. What's your fix?
The easy fix is just correct the mistake to begin with. When correcting the mistake was finding the right regime to bring in to move this forward. Piecemeal's not going to work. We all know that. That leads to an inevitable situation. How many coaches like Eagle Flukes or all these second-year guys, when you know it doesn't work, you try to make changes, and then they're gone anyways? Josh McDaniels, it just doesn't work. It's not going to work. It never will. Just take your pill and move forward. You know, that's I don't see any other way around it. I mean, I just don't. Mayo is just not the guy. He's just not. Jim Harbaugh, if he was here right now, would their record be better? Yes. Appreciably better? Maybe not. But you know that there would be a culture and this thing would be moving forward. You know, that's where you have to be. Rabel probably can do that or find someone that can. And then one more thing about the draft real quick that no one talks about.
Yep.
Number one is also number 33. and is also number, 65? The first pick of every round is extremely important. That was the difference of Ladd McConkey and, I know, I didn't want to bring it up, but they have to lose. You have so much capital with that 33rd pick because everybody is resetting the table after night one, and someone's going to slip it, someone's going to like, and your phone is going to ring. You know, there's so many opportunities to capitalize on this. And I won't have enough time to get into the people that are currently there aren't capable of handling it, but that's the point. Just keep the number one pick, and you have so many more advantages. Have a wonderful weekend. Thankfully, the season is almost over, Fitz. Take care, pal.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, Danny and Cranston. His line is open for a brief moment at 617-779-7937. It is almost over, and then an entirely new operation begins. The pain, the frustration of the 2024 season, which ends in January of 2025, is nigh. Can we start off 2025, both the calendar year, the off season, and then ultimately the new Patriots season, which I understand is still 8 months away from kicking off? Can we at least start it off on a high note? Can we start it off with a win by losing? We will get to that. All your calls, all your fixes, all your plans for what the Patriots can and need to do on a freezy cold, freezy, brisk January Saturday with your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here on New England Sports Original, WEEI. Other sports have happened, or so I've been told. Here to catch you up all of that and then some. Trending now, Tom.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
I'm Christopher Foley. Friend of the station from Boston Sports Journal. And someone yesterday who told aggregators to suck it, that would be our pal Mike Giardi, who yesterday also went on in his interview with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart on the WEEI Afternoon Show to say that while all season long he was convinced that the Patriots would run it back or at least bring Gerard Mayo back with some alterations to the coaching structure, that now he believes, because of the way things have gone, not even including yesterday's verbal misstep from Jelani Tavai. And that was bad. Not saying that I don't agree with you about the booing, but just the way in which he phrased it as well. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that work right next to the fancy shopping mall that Tom Brady helped build. You know, it is where it's where AC/DC and Taylor Swift and Kenny Chesney and Coldplay play. Oh, it's Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play too. A lot of people down there probably unhappy about that as well. But Giardi believes that at this point now, they may just have to blow the whole operation out. And I wonder if that's not just how you feel emotionally, if there's an impulse to say, get rid of them all, fire them all. But if you really believe at this point that because of the way the season has gone, because of all the missteps, because of the mistakes, because of the complete lack of culture, because nobody outside of Christian Gonzalez, Brendan Schooler, your one Pro Bowl player, and of course, rookie quarterback Drake May, because nobody... Those are three of the 53 because no one else has improved this season. Are just those some of the many reasons why at this point now you can't just get rid of one guy. You can't get rid of a couple of guys. It's going to have to be a complete system reboot or you run it back with a couple of tweaks. Personally, I mean, last year I was not shy in saying that when Mike Vrabel was presented as available, given his love, the fealty that he pledged to the organization, that's who I was hoping they would go with. There were plans that were made in Israel 5 years prior that many of us were unaware of. That plan was expedited because of the organization's desire to take control back of it and to eliminate themselves of the general manager. And the cost of that was the greatest defensive mind and one of the greatest coaches in the history of the league. And here we are. So does Mayo go with everyone else tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? I don't know. If, you know, blank to head, if I had to open up Fan Kings right now, Draft Duel, one of your pocket parlay spectaculars and wager on it, I would say no. That's my guess. That's just my guess. It would seem like such a drastic misstep. Will there be changes? Yes. But I don't, just me, just one guy, I don't necessarily know, and nor am I saying that it's the right thing. I'm just guessing that Gerard Mayo remains as the head coach. And I bet you, the organization keeps a keen eye on what takes place with the team that has gifted them the opportunity to get this massive golden ticket that is the first overall pick, plus the first pick in the second round, first pick in the third round, as our caller Dan from Cranston highlighted moments ago, the New York Football Giants. Because if they decide to get rid of Brian Daboll, I would not be surprised if the Patriots say, Alex, thank you very much, or candidate 12, as many of us had referred to him. We appreciate what you did with Drake May. As a matter of fact, we would like for you to stay around. Stick around. Work with him. Be the QB coach. Be the offensive assistant. However, what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen, that's the next step we need to take. We need a more explosive offense. We need to get more dynamic, more creative. And also, side note, why the Daboll plan could work is if Mayo really cannot establish a culture, because there is no culture here this year. The culture is the lack of culture. The culture is the lack of organization. The culture is trying to be something and then apologizing for not being that time and time again. And that's unfortunate. But someone else made it famous saying it is what it is around here. So it is what it is. If Daboll becomes available, you get a new offensive coordinator and you have a possible head coach replacement waiting right there on the sidelines if things don't go well. I don't want it to work that way. Not saying, just saying. So there you have it. Let's go back to the phones. What do the people got to say? Let's see. We will take you in order of calling in. Fire when ready. Harvey's in the car. Harvey, good afternoon. How are you, my guy?
Hello. How are you?
Hello. You know, Harvey, I have never been better, and that is a complete lie.
For the last 3-4 weeks, everybody's been beating around the same points, but I'd like to try a different tact.
Okay.
Assuming they do the clear house, who in Foxborough is there to decide who the next GM is going to be, who the next coach is going to be? I don't have a lot of faith in Bob Kraft or Jonathan Kraft or anybody that's remaining. So who's gonna make that next pick? That's what scares me.
Mm-hmm. Harvey, that's a great point. It's a great call. Thanks very much. Who is going to make that next pick? I spend way too much time. I should be spending so much more time putting together puzzles with my kids or helping them out with their homework or whatever. But no, I end up having to go back over New England Patriots drafts just so I can be fully informed as to the mistakes made, selection blunders, and where things could have gone right. Don't even get me started on the 2024 draft. I wanted it to work so badly, but I was lost once they traded out of 34 and sent the most perfect Patriot, a football player that was grown in a laboratory with the reconstituted parts of Wes Welker and Cooper Kupp, Ladd McConkey, who came in last weekend. And I, like many other Patriots fans, I was so mad seeing him come in a Chargers uniform. Those are really sweet, sweet uniforms. With whole milk Harbaugh, Captain Khakis on the sideline, someone else the Pats should have talked to. With Justin Herbert, who we hope is what Drake May turns into, whether he's discount Herbert, half a Herbert, or Josh Allen 2.0, store brand, Shaw's brand, Josh Allen in time, we'll see. When Ladd McConkey was going for 8 for 94 last weekend, which, by the way, is 2/3 as many catches as Jalen Polk has had on the year, and 7 more yards and 2 touchdowns, same number of touchdowns, I was legitimately cheering for him. Good. You know what? We were the bad dog. Grab our nose and rub our face in it. But looking at some of these other drafts, the 2023 draft, a couple good ones. 2022, so bad. 2021, some hits, some misses. You got Stevenson, Barmore. There was a quarterback taken at the top of the draft. We'll forget that. Hey, remember Cameron McGrone, everybody? Good times. If the drafts were better, we probably wouldn't be here again as well. And to Harvey's point, this is something I would love to know. If there was a way to find out, like Matt Groh, Elliot Wolf, other people that are still in the building right now that could possibly be involved in future selections of the Patriots in the drafts, free agency, and more. How involved were they in previous free agency endeavors? How involved were they influencing the selections of people like Tyquan Thornton? Were they some of the people that recommended to Belichick or whomever, hey, it's okay, let Jacoby Myers go because we've got a shiny, slightly used Juju Smith-Schuster to replace him? That worked out horribly. I will not name names. I spoke to a former Patriot last weekend in the building who told me that that was one of the most disappointing moves he has seen the team make in years. And it sent the worst message to the locker room, the worst message possible to everyone. Hey, everybody, come on in as an undrafted free agent. Work your way up from the absolute bottom as a former quarterback turned wide receiver who is a super likable guy and everyone wants to get in line behind because he's such a terrific leader. That's how you build culture. And instead, no, let's go sign some guy who's banged up somewhere else, has no history with the team, because you want to save a couple bucks. I don't know who made that decision. It was terrible, and I'm not the only one that feels that way. All right, let's keep things rolling right here. Next in line was... Oh, here we go. Bill in the car. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Bill is not there.
The hell with you, Bill. All right. Jimmy in Bedford. Hello, Jimmy. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Fitzy, good morning, buddy. How are you?
As you can tell by the sound of my voice and the tone and tenor of my presentation, I'm on top of the world, pal.
I know. Well, I think you and I are in a similar place. I think I can help. I would like to wind this up a little bit, but I've got a promise I'll make to you. I'm going to fix the Patriots in less than 90 seconds. All right,
Tom, start the clock.
But I want not yet. I want to wrap it a little bit. So first, I'll look back a little bit. The biggest mistake the Crafts made is they didn't talk to anyone outside of the organization, and they anointed Gerard Mayo without even having a dialogue with a guy like Jim Harbaugh, which is ridiculous.
Too insular. Couldn't agree more. Where was the external context and opinion? You lost the football brain trust, Jimmy, had already been drained. You lost Ernie Adams. You lost Scarnecchia. You lost McDaniels. You didn't have Brady. You didn't have Belichick. But now all of a sudden, like via osmosis and experience, everyone inside the building was that much smarter? No.
Yeah, like, ridiculous. Name me one time in history where anyone's been anointed and it's worked. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, you know, the whole Lucky Sperm Club type of thing. It doesn't work. So That's mistake number one. And I've been saying this for years, which is outside eyes. This organization needs outside eyes. The funny thing is they got rid of the czar. They got rid of Belichick, which needed to happen. But they kept all his lieutenants. So my point in addressing what needs to happen moving forward is if I was going to put a help wanted sign on, it would say outside eyes desperately needed. And I think, you know, following the loss tomorrow, which hopefully comes, and securing the number one pick, can I give you my plan in 90 seconds or less?
Hit it, baby. Today is your day. This is a show by the fans for the fans. Go.
All right. So it starts tomorrow. Lose tomorrow. Get the number one pick.
I'm in.
Monday morning, as soon as you can, you fire Elliott Wolf. You fire Mac Rowe. You fire all like-minded personnel types left over from the Belichick era. Fire Mayo. Fire Covington. Offer AVP a demotion to quarterback coach, and if he doesn't accept, fire him. Fire the wide receiver coach. All remaining assistants be evaluated by the new head coach or new GM. And first, I'd start at the top. Hire a new head of football operations / GM. I like Thomas Dimitroff because when he was here, Belichick never listened to him, so he does have outside eyes. Joe Douglas from the Jets. Joe Douglas from the Jets. Don't laugh. He built a great team over there. John Robinson, the guy who worked with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Anyone
of that pedigree. Yeah, anyone of that pedigree. Maybe you get Scott Pioli. Who knows? But let those guys run the organization and hire the coach. Then interview the highest available high-end head coaches available that are also shown to have team-building prowess. A guy like Gruden comes to mind. Rex Ryan, don't laugh, comes to mind. Mike Norvell from Florida State. Brian Flores. Mike Vrabel. I want outside eyes, and I prefer that, but if all roads lead back to a guy like Vrabel or Flores, so be it. But interview all available candidates. Hire the Steelers wide receiver scout and overpay him. You desperately need new eyes there. Offensive coordinators. How about Eric Bieniemy? Everyone forgot about him from Kansas City. Or someone from the Andy Reid, Sean McVay, or Kyle Shanahan tree. get the number one pick. Trade out for as many 25 and 26 picks as you can. Get to the spot for the top left tackle and take them. Position needs, 80% overhaul at the offensive line, 100% overhaul at the receiver, 100% overhaul at linebacker, and edge rusher and run stuffer. You need a developmental center and a developmental tight end and a developmental cornerback. And to weaponize the offense, use free agency. Sign T. Higgins, trade for DK Metcalf, and sign offensive lineman Ronnie Staley.
There it is. In 90 seconds, right there. See? This is why we have the best callers in the world. Jimmy from Bedford, thank you very much. That was excellent. That man came, it wasn't just like, I don't care what you got to do. Fire this guy, get rid of that guy. I'm so angry, I'm not renewing my tickets. No. There was a plan. It started with outside organizational eyes. Getting rid of the people that may have been involved that could be tainted by recent failures in the draft. Signings, more. Come in. Get some talent. Build big. If they blow out the entire wide receiver room, I hope they keep Kendrick Bourne. They're not going to blow it out entirely. They should. They'll probably hold on to Booty. They're probably still going to want to see what they got with Polk. I mean, I know he's that close to joining the wall of infamy that is the Patriots busted second round receiver club, which is a different kind of wall of shame that should be built right near the Cleveland quarterbacks wall of shame as well. Side note, real quick, again, tremendous call, Jimmy. Thank you for coming in with a plan and being the man. Young Tom, today, Bailey Zappe starts for the Cleveland Browns. Do you know how many different, he becomes the blanketh starting quarterback for the Browns since 1999? You want to talk about organizational dysfunction? How many quarterbacks have the Cleveland Browns started since 1999?
So I've seen the dude who wears the jersey.
You've seen it, okay.
I've seen it.
The jacket? Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a jacket, honestly. That's a great one. It's in the 20s. It's got to be the 20s. 27?
You were only off by 13. 40.
Wow.
40 different people have played quarterback for the Cleveland Browns since 1999. I believe for the New England Patriots now it's 10 since 1999. 40 quarterbacks. That is your true sign of organizational dysfunction. That is how that is a true sign of things being a mess. However, if the Patriots are not able to reframe things, and not just from ownership, you know, Tom Curran had suggested maybe a football czar, somebody like a Parcells had been for the Miami Dolphins, you know, like Belichick could have been. And well, there are, again, I'll try not to say that many more times because the swear jar is going to be full. At least the kids will get to go spend it on something. As soon, find that mind with a plan. I like that's one of the things that Jimmy in Bedford said. Dimitroff never listened to Belichick. Go ahead, bring him in. Might not be the worst idea I've ever heard. But I wonder if this will happen, and we'll go to the break on this. Usually, when you see organizations start over and reboot and find a new coach and establish a new culture and try to pivot and turn the ship around, it usually begins with the hiring of a general manager. This person is now in charge of football operations. This person will be making the decisions for this team as far as which players we sign, how much money we offer them, what players we trade, what the return is, what the timelines for development will be, what kind of offense, what kind of defense, and who the head coach that is going to align with us in emotional, psychological, and operational lockstep will be. And you see that in a team that had previously finished 4-13, everyone. You've heard it multiple times. You'll probably hear it later when our card-carrying Commanders fan, Miss Megan Onalini, when Mego comes in, her favorite football team, though she does a bang-up job covering ours up here in New England, and throughout Pat's Nation, her favorite football team, which in three iterations has made it to the playoffs before the Jets have, side note, small schadenfreude for everyone out there. They were 4-13. They brought in Adam Peters, the assistant general manager to John Lynch and the 49ers with an awesome track record. He comes in, hires Dan Quinn. They get Cliff Kingsbury. They figure out what kind of offense they want to run because they know the quarterback. They've identified their guy in the draft. Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, players coach, defensive mind, air raid style creative offense that is tailor cut to what Jaden Daniels' incredible skills are, crush free agency, establish a culture, work with the guys that were there that were so displeased with the way that dysfunctional organization ran. Josh Harris knocks it out of the park. He's also not Dan Snyder. That's how you do it. And I just wonder if maybe there won't be some sort of Washington-esque realignment coming up for the Patriots as well. All right, let's just take a breath, everybody. Let's pay some bills. We'll go to commercial when we come back. Tim, Allison, Dennis, Rick, a whole new cadre of callers. Your old pal Fitzy's therapy session here, Patriot style, rolls on. John Lyons tags into the program shortly after 1 o'clock. We're doing the best we can here on Boston Sports Original.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
WEEI. Patriots special teams coach Jeremy Springer yesterday at his Friday pregame media avail addressing Jelani Tavai's, Jelani, let's call the whole thing off, right, Tom? Addressing Jelani Tavai's call yesterday into the Greg Hill Show as part of his Patriots Friday obligations, where he addressed, if in case you hadn't heard it, although it kind of went viral, at least in the Boston media scene, if not in Pats Nation and beyond. I'm not sure if it made SportsCenter last night. But basically, Tavai, of course, said, as far as the fans go, you know, you should know you understand you can be frustrated or dissatisfied with how they're playing. They are too, but, you know, they don't understand how tough this is. They should know their role. And it was the know your role. Like, unless you're going to unironically follow it or ironically follow it with know your role and shut your mouth, probably shouldn't say that. Because these people, yes, us people, you people, however you want to call it, you want to Fitzify it, Andy Hartify it, whatever. They pay a lot of money. Yeah, they had it good for so long. I get it, spoiled, whatever. But we're not here to legislate exactly how and why the double dynastic run and all the glory years of Belichick and Brady should buy this team amnesty forever. Because you need to put a product on the field that is representative of the people that pay the money, that show up early, that wear the gear, that get the emails, that talk, live, eat, breathe, nonstop Patriots football fandom. It needs to be better. It can't just stink, and you can't be defensive about it and then point to the banners or hearken back to the days of old and say, you had it so good for a while. Because unlike with the Red Sox, here's the difference between how I believe, even though they have been a bit too thrifty or frugal for their own benefit at times, the difference I believe with, shall we call it, the Foxborough Sports Group versus the Fenway Sports Group is that once the Red Sox won 4 World Series in a century and 4 World Series in a decade and a half, and I still can't believe it as well. No, Joe, I can't believe it. Can you believe it? Nope, I can't. They decided that the Red Sox were basically an asset. They were no longer the point of passion and pride that they needed to lean on to pursue greatness. They had made their mark. They had done their work. They won. They did their job, if you will. So they were all set. And now as long as they just kept making money and kept interest in Fenway, they could pursue the Liverpools and the racing and the Penguins and Pittsburgh Sports Nation or whatever the hell that channel is that came along with the Penguins, all that good stuff. And I don't think they took the same level of interest if they were in the Red Sox. They were an asset. Whereas I do believe that Robert and Jonathan and everyone associated with the Crafts and the Patriots organization does want the Patriots to win, does care about another Super Bowl. And in fact, if anything, now that inexplicably someone allowed someone, whoever it was, I don't need a book. I don't need an Apple Plus TV miniseries. I don't need anything from anyone in an interview, in a blog post or whatever, to tell me that it was a stupid decision to let Tom Brady leave the building and not retire a Patriot on his own terms. Should have gotten the Drew Brees deal. Should have been given a blank check. They should have brought in an oversized novelty check from blank bank and said, Tom, fill it in yourself. Because Tom Brady alone, yes, in cooperation with the gridiron genius of Bill Belichick and his menacing evil and his brilliant game planning, they were the greatest tandem in NFL history. No coach and quarterback will ever operate greater in tandem together. But Tom Brady should have been, for all I care, should have been paid $100 million a year for the amount of money that he brought to the Patriots, to Gillette Stadium, to Patriot Place, to the mall, to Foxborough, to Southeast New England, to Massachusetts, to New England, to Patriots Nation and beyond. But all these bad decisions, all the decisions piling up, take the time to see through them at this point. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. Just take a minute. Don't win tomorrow. And please just take the time to figure out the best way to do things, because I do believe the crafts care. I do believe that now, in the face of letting Belichick go and Brady go and the mistakes that have been made, they do want to reset a new standard for themselves so people start thinking about them as the New England Patriots that Robert Kraft bought, that were competitive and went to a Super Bowl with Bill Parcells and then sniffed playoffs time and again. And then just when it seemed like they were going to teeter and go back into the oblivion of the late 80s and early 90s, along comes Belichick, and here comes Tom Brady, still better than any pill you can take, gentlemen, to get things excited. You'll go 6 to midnight faster than anything with those magic words. Here comes Tom Brady. They need to reset that standard. That's why they care. They're fans, too, and we know it. One more call before the break. Our pal John Lyons has just arrived in studio. He will be joining us momentarily. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Fitzy, I love all your reasoning and your thoughts out there. I do want to say, when Kraft gave Mayo the job, mm-hmm. I figured, okay, if they didn't take him, then I was looking for Vrabel, and I just said, hey, you know what? Let's see what happens, because I think he would have did a great job as well. But here's the deal: Kraft turned the Patriots into a restaurant. Just a quick scenario, 2 seconds. The thing is, he brought in his boy, Wolf. Wolf wound up giving that restaurant the cook to do. And then he gave all the waiters left there in the game to Mayo. And he never gave Mayo the chance, because that restaurant was due to fail ever since the beginning of it.
There you go.
The thing is now,
yep.
Hey, let Mayo live. Let him stay. Get rid of Wolf. Get rid of the offensive coordinator that groomed the kid, so hopefully we get a good guy back. I'm looking at trying to get Mayo some help. Get him someone like Leftwich. Leftwich has got a great offensive mind. He did a great job with Brady in Tampa, and mm-hmm. he had a great surrounding cast with his running backs and all those guys that are still there now as receivers. The thing is, we need that help. They can't blow this draft up. If they blow the draft up, then we're screwed. Then I'll tell you what, we're going to look like the New England Cleveland Browns. That's what we're going to look like. So I don't want to go down that road, but let's see. Let's bring it together and then spend the money they should have spent on all the guys that they should have brought in and buy those guys on top of the draft, and we can yep. maybe get back on the right track.
That's all we need to do is get back on track. We're not going to return to glory overnight. I don't need anyone, especially Jelani Tavai, whether he's talking to Dan Roach or Greg Hill or whatever, to say, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. No kidding. But you can destroy Rome in just a couple of minutes playing fiddle and lighting fire to everything, guy. No kidding. And by the way, Tavai is not a bad guy. He's a good guy. I've interviewed him before in the radio station. Jeremy Springer, the guy who, the special teams coach, who gets it. I nominate him to be the permanent spokesman for Mayo and everyone else in the organization. Hold on to Springer. At least the special teams group has improved this year as well. Yes, I don't know about bringing in Byron Leftwich as well. I mean, changes will be made. Jerod Mayo, if he's gone, it's because he and others made too many mistakes this year, and they believe that everyone has to pay and a clean sweep is necessary. I still say that he probably isn't gone, but the man needs help because he wasn't ready this year. He may not even have been ready next year as well. They expedited the plan. And now the people that orchestrated that plan and put everything in place need to help him, need to help the organization, help themselves, and it starts by helping him as well. All right, Kurt, Allison, Dennis, Ron, don't you guys go anywhere. We're going to pay some bills, reset, hit the second hour. John Lyons tags in. Fitzy Han Solo, it has been a pleasure, but now Fitzy and Lyons rolls on for hour number two here on a cold, crisp Saturday on the greatest radio show and station there is around town. WEEI.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.